Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
We will rally around Kurt Warner.
Kurt Warner.
You're a big horse, and you must be ridden every Monday night.
Two-time NFL MVP.
They talk about this, the greatest show on turf. Maybe the best offense ever in football.
Super Bowl champion.
Warner to throw. Going deep downfield. Adjusting for it is Isaac Bruce. Touchdown. 73 yards.
Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Not just the NFL Hall of Fame. And I wear that as a badge of honor because without pro football, in all its forms and fashions, I'm not here tonight.
Radio analyst for Westwood One Sports.
Oh, he's their big playmaker when they want to push it down the field. They love to use the big-bodied wide receiver and Alex Pierce, and he just puts the ball up and says, hey, protect the football and go make a catch for me. Little pull there in the quarters coverage, and you go up over the top to Alex Pierce.
NFL Network analyst.
Quinton Sontag-Morgan back in the States on a Sunday. We're about 3:30 local time here. Adam Amin, the Hall of Famer Kurt Warner, right back to Taylor with Warren blocking. Touchdown, Taylor! And the Colts win in overtime.
I know everybody in the building was hoping it was going to come down to a kick, but as you said, couldn't have been more fitting, not only that Jonathan Taylor gets into the end zone, but the way he gets into the end zone. You're going to watch him with another vintage Jonathan Taylor run.
You might call that the golden goal.
Kurt Warner with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Our segment with Kurt Warner is sponsored by Plumbers 911. Plumbing emergency, call the plumbing professionals. Available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. It's also brought to you by Great Clips. It's going to be great. Kurt Warner joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Kurt, thanks so much for joining us. I don't want to put too much on this, but I am curious of a professional's opinion about this. When I watch Caleb Williams do some of the heroic stuff that he has done at the end of games when the Bears have been down, whether it's this season or last season, I feel like that's something that's not necessarily taught. And I get excited about the fact that the Bears have a quarterback who is capable of doing that in those pressure situations. Obviously, what you want is for him to be able to play complete games and still have some of that. But is there anything to the idea of there being something special about a quarterback that can flip a switch when it's necessary?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about it. And especially, again, we have to continue to put all of this in context, that he's still in his second year. He's still in his first year in this system. And we've seen growth in more of the conventional stuff. But yeah, when you have a guy that in those moments – goes and plays football and makes big plays and doesn't shy away from that moment. And it might not be as conventional. I think, you know, the hope is he doesn't have to put on a cape as much and make these runs or these crazy throws. And some of that really good play, you know, is more schematic and the offense working for him and him playing on schedule and doing those things, because, you know, doing things like we saw yesterday is a hard thing to do. But to have a guy that has the capabilities of doing that, I think has to excite, you know, any fan base that, you know, when things aren't pretty and things aren't going great. And, you know, I even say sometimes as a quarterback, you don't see the field great every time you step on the field. For me, that usually meant a loss and a bad performance. For some other guys like Caleb, that can mean, okay, it may not be great schematically or on schedule, but I still have the capabilities of impacting a game in different ways. And, you know, so I think you have to be excited. I love the growth. I love that we've seen some steps. It's not there yet. But then you couple that with, I just think the kid is competing every time out and he's battling and he never gives up. And yeah, that to me, I think is just as exciting for, you know, a locker room when you know you've got a guy that, again, not perfect, but that he's going to compete and he's going to, you know, battle every single time you go out there until, you know, until the whistle blows. Yeah, I think it's an exciting thing, you know, for the Chicago Bears fans, and they're finding ways to win in this transition period. I think it's been great.
It's good stuff from Kurt Warner, as it usually is on Spiegel and Holmes. Yeah, he's winning patience is what he's doing. He's winning patience when you see that effort, like you're talking about, relentlessly, and the plays that he makes at the end. As you watched him in structure yesterday, can you tell, did you see him getting to his third read or even his fourth read on more occasions? I felt like I was seeing that, but I'm not sure.
I can't say I necessarily saw that. Yes, I thought yesterday's performance was just kind of up and down all across the board. You know, I think there was times when there wasn't a whole lot happening for him down the field. Like there wasn't a lot of reads to go to necessarily. You know, I think there were times he missed. There's times that I continue to say, gosh, you know, take something off the football. You know, everything is like a 100-mile-an-hour fastball. And then there's throws that you're just like, goodness gracious, like who can make that throw? And especially some of the throws he made on the run where you're just like, man, I wouldn't even consider attempting a throw like that. And, you know, he misses by inches. And so, yeah, I thought it was an up and down performance by their offense as a whole. And, you know, kind of in the same vein of a lot of the stuff that we've seen from Caleb. You know, some games have been, you know, better overall, but just there's some good, there's some bad, there's some things you want to see improved. But again, at the end of the day, it was about him making a bunch of plays. And that was the reason that they ended up winning that football game, is because he was just making some plays, whether that was inside the pocket or outside the pocket, just made enough plays, including the, you know, the final touchdown run to get him the win.
Kurt, from your experience, what's key to being able to scheme players open? Because, you know, Greg Olsen pointed it out on the broadcast yesterday that the Bears are one of the best teams at getting open receivers. So what does it come down to from your experience of working with really good offensive coaches? What makes guys good at that?
Well, I mean, I think it's having a vision for what the possibilities are. So here's the thing is that, you know, I think sometimes, you know, we speak over people's heads and you know, we try to make, you know, defensive football like rocket science. You know, at the end of the day, there is so much space on a field that you have to cover. And usually you're covering that space with seven guys. And thus the reason we have the different coverages that we talk about. You know, cover one obviously is man-to-man coverage. So you're just covering a man. You got a guy in the middle of the field that's kind of helping. Cover two, five guys covering the zones underneath and two guys covering deep. Obviously cover three guys deep, four under, and then cover four the opposite, four guys deep, three under. And so the idea is that the defense still has to cover the field, and they're going to find creative ways to do it, and they're going to bring some pressures and those kinds of things. But those zones are always going to be those zones. And so to me, a good play designer is one that understands the zones he's trying to attack and how to use his different guys to put, you know, I always use the term, put someone in conflict. That to me is what good play design is all about. It's not just putting a bunch of guys in different spots and expecting somebody to necessarily win a one-on-one matchup, you know, or you to call a play at exactly the right time against exactly the right defense, and then it can be successful. To me, good play designers and guys that can get guys open or guys that can go, okay, these are the variety of coverages that this team plays. And I want to design a play that attacks the responsibility of different guys. So if we get cover two, or if we get cover three, or if we get cover four, we're doing something that should give our quarterback an answer or a chance to get someone open. And, you know, that to me is what I look at, you know, when I watch film and I watch, you know, play designers and you know, different play concepts. I'm always putting myself in the quarterback's shoes and going, okay, what would I do here? And why does this work or why doesn't this work? And, you know, and then you look at it against the coverage that they're actually seeing and go, oh my gosh, quarterback has no chance. Or, oh, what a great play design against this coverage, because this is where it stresses that defense. And so it's being able to build plays that have answers against the variety of different things that you're going to see. Where more times than not, it, you know, I don't want to say makes it easy on your quarterback, but it gives your quarterback an answer, and it sets up your receivers to have a chance to win. And sometimes defenses win, right? Sometimes, you know, they fall into it, or, you know, teams will play some match coverage, so it's a zone, but somebody will run and kind of match to a guy and play more man, so it can take away, you know, that conflict player that we're trying to get. But that to me is what it's all about, is understanding that. You know, I was covering the Colts this weekend in Germany, and I think Shane Steichen does a great job of doing just that. Like, hey, we're going to run this route, and we're going to run it in this way to kind of clear this guy out. And then we're going to do this because I know the responsibility of this guy in this zone is such and such. So we're going to attack his responsibility and stress him that way, and then have an answer if he does this or an answer if he does that. Like, that's the kind of stuff to me that makes good play design, that creates opportunities for guys. And, you know, and I can see just the opposite. I can see other guys. So here's the kind of the beautiful thing is when you have a good play designer and you see those details and why those details are so important, and then you'll see another team that will run the exact same play, and their details are terrible, and they don't attack it the right way, and they don't have the release pattern the right way, or they don't have the spacing the right way, and a defense easily covers it because of that. And so that's another aspect to great play designers, in my opinion, are those little details that they realize make dramatic differences for getting a guy open, creating space, you know, really stressing what a defense does. And you'll have a lot of teams that will run the same plays in essence, right? The basic same plays. You know, we say maybe 65-70% of offenses are going to have, you know, kind of the same play ideas within them. But how you run those plays and how you get to those plays and how you motion and formation and who you put where and how you release and all that stuff makes a huge difference. So we can look at it, oh, same play so-and-so ran, but one team's so much more effective with it than another team. And so there are so many things that go into it, but ultimately it does come down to there are certain zones on the field that every defense has to cover. How are they going to cover it? How are we going to exploit those, you know, those different zones with our concepts is what it comes down to.
So as you're talking, Kurt Warner, I'm picturing Isaac Bruce and Torrey Holt running wide open on crossers way down the field. And I'm thinking about, you know, Al Saunders and Dick Vermeil and Don Coryell, but also Mike Martz. And I remember talking to Mike Martz when Ben Johnson got hired and him saying that that's his favorite play caller in the NFL. So as you're talking about it, you can, you know, it makes sense from your experience on some level that Martz is a big fan of Ben, doesn't it?
For sure. And I was actually just talking about Mike this weekend with Kenny Zampezi, who was with us in St. Louis back in the day. And we were talking about the thing that always jumped out about Mike was that he understood how to coach every position and how every position was tied together. You know, he just wasn't a quarterback guru, or he just wasn't a wide receiver guy.
And we hear that about Ben, Kurt.
And the tight ends.
Tight ends, and even the offense. Darnell Wright said that Ben has a way of making him feel like the most important guy on a given play.
So it's understanding how the nuance of all of that stuff, you know, ties together, you know, what the offensive line does and the steps that they make. You know, like I talk about all the time, release patterns to me are so important. You know, is it just easiest release, just get to your spot? Or is it, we need you to dive inside. We need you to press outside. And those things that become so important, splits, you know, we're going to have a whole bunch of different splits. Why? Well, because we want to shrink a cornerback. So we're going to have a tighter split because we're going to try to get outside and gain leverage outside. Like all of those things and how they stack on top of one another is so important. And again, I think there's a lot of, you know, people out there. And again, I don't want to say that they're bad coordinators or they're, you know, not great football people, but that don't understand that part of it. And so they're stealing a play from somebody else on film, but they don't really know why they're doing it. You know, I would think all the time when I was, you know, back to playing and coaches would put in plays and I would see the game differently a lot of times than my coaches. And so one of my biggest questions was always just why? Okay, why are we running that route like that? You know, why is that important? What does that do for us? Or how does that help another guy? Or how does that help me as a quarterback to read this? Because in my mind, I always knew what I wanted. And I needed to know why a coach wanted to do it a different way. And whenever I heard, well, that's just how we do it, I knew right then and there, they don't know why we're doing it that way. We're doing it that way because somebody told them to do it that way, or because they pulled it off, you know, a film and said, oh, this is how they did it. Like, to me, every detail should have a why. Why are we releasing this guy inside? If I'm releasing him inside, why? You know, why are we doing this? You know, one of the biggest things for me, if you guys could follow this, is I ask all the offense coordinators that I talk to now, that over the years, as I've put in offenses and run offenses and design plays and stuff, whenever I get a guy in a slot position as a wide receiver, I never straight vertical release him. That guy is either going to be bursting outside or seaming inside. And I'm continually asking offensive coordinators, if you straight vertical release a guy, what benefit does that give you? Like, because I see it happen all the time, right? And it's just kind of a natural thing. Oh, we just run up here and run the route. But I always ask them, when you straight vertical, what benefit does that give you? Because if I seam or if I burst, it creates movement by the defense. And that's what I should say. It creates movement or it gives me leverage, one or the other. If they don't move, we gain an advantage. If they move, we gain an advantage because we're creating movement and reads for the quarterback. So I never have my slot receiver straight vertical release any route that he runs. But I'm always asking offense coordinators because I'm like, this is what I believe. This is why. This is how I know it helps me as a quarterback. But that doesn't mean there's not a benefit from doing it the other way. I just want to know, what is it? And every time I ask somebody, nobody can ever give me an answer. Like, they just look at me like, that's just how we do it. Like, you know, or let's just go a little bit faster. And I don't believe that. But nonetheless, You know, I'm always asking questions like that because I want to know, is there a reason? Is there something I'm missing where I can gain a benefit by doing this? Because that's how I'm always thinking about offensive football is, okay, we're going to run this play. Like if you drew a play up on a board and said, we're going to run this play, the first thing I'm going to do is look at it and go, okay, we're going to run that play. What do I want this guy to do? And so what's important for him to do on this play? What's he opening up? What do I need him to do in terms of attacking a defense? How do I need him to open up the zone? Do I need him to widen the defender? Do I need him to squeeze a defender? What do I need from him? And so now you start taking each and every individual piece and say, okay, to make this play the best version of it, how does everybody need to do their job, you know, down to the finest detail to allow us to be successful? And ultimately, that's what I believe about great play designers and coordinators. They're the guys that understand that, and they leave no stone unturned in terms of the details that we believe will make this play the best version of it.
As always, we enjoy the education, Kurt. Thanks for joining us.
You got it, guys. We'll talk to you soon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
But do you feel like there has been a shift nationally on what Caleb Williams can be?
Well, there should be, because these are the games that help a player believe in himself, and they help the players around him believe. The opponents, when they come up against the Bears and they have those leads late, when you know that the Bears have this institutional ability to wipe out a double-digit lead late in the game, you start to get a little tight. Sets the stage for the Bears to keep doing it week in and week out.
That is Mike Florio. We just talked to him. If you missed it, you can go back, listen on the Rewind feature on the Odyssey app. This is Raheemi Harrison-Grody on 670 The Score. We didn't get to it yesterday because we started to cook as a trio, Raheemi Harris and Grody, on the national conversation surrounding the Bears and how they're shaping up right now with the rest of the NFL. And this is actually a conversation that was birthed from something that Cam Newton had to say on First Take. The reason I give Cam a little more credit than the average is because, number one, he wasn't average in his career as a quarterback. Far from it. So I tend to think that when it comes to his takes about the rest of the league, I like to hear what he has to say, which is why I was somewhat surprised that this is what he had to say about the Bears.
Who's going to tell the truth here? I mean, because
oh,
everybody on this panel,
you the truth teller?
I'm so disappointed.
Oh, wow.
I'm the truth teller.
That's a part.
I'm going to tell you right now.
Here go ahead.
Who's going to tell the truth about the last two games you played, the Cincinnati Bengals and the New York Giants? And those teams know how to lose better than they know how to win. And that's what happened. Damian Woody, you're lying. Stephen A. Smith, you're lying. And I'm sorry, Shay, but I got to tell you the truth about your Chicago Dub Bears. Because, no, nobody's giving this team hope in the NFC. Not when you got Tampa, Seattle, Los Angeles Rams, even the 49ers. No. Show me in the next couple of weeks versus the Eagles. If you try this type of formula when Ben Johnson says, we had it right where we want them, that's a lie. Then you play Green Bay twice. Then you got the Lions. Like, try that same recipe versus those type of teams and see if you don't doggone be reconsidering what you just said. This is not a winning recipe. You don't want to stay in a situation where you have to come back and say, oh, my God, the resiliency. We never gave up. We never wavered. Man, that's – man, look, that's BS, baloney, that's hogwash, Stephen Anthony. And you guys can keep marveling over Caleb Williams. Yes, he is a great talent. He can play in this league. But playing this type of way where you're giving up leads and you have to, you know, desperately come back in the fourth quarter, that's not going to work, bro.
First of all, when he said doggone, I nearly lost it, but then not the Stephen Anthony call for Stephen A. Smith.
The part where he realized, oh, wait, I'm on television, not my podcast. I cannot curse here. And regathered his thoughts to use lighter language. That's what I appreciated about it.
But here's the thing. Again, as I look at the playoff picture that Adam Schefter posted that has the Bears in it as a sixth seed.
Do you want to like print out a giant copy of that and hang it on the wall? And then we can just update it every week. As long as the Bears remain in that picture, we could do that. We could do that.
I've been here for more than 10 years now, and it's a rare day when I see this. But the point is, Cam mentioned all these teams, right? Eagles, he mentioned Seahawks, he mentioned Rams and Bucks. Okay, you just mentioned C's 1 through 4. What about 4 through the rest, huh? Huh? What about 4, 5, 6?
And last I checked, the Packers are behind the Bears in the standings, correct? He mentioned the Packers
twice. What about 7, 8?
Well, eight, you don't want to go to 8. This is the NBA.
Oh, yeah,
you
7, my bad.
Yeah,
sorry.
You go to 8. There's no play
eight
in
doesn't
here.
Count. Yeah, there's not play. But yeah, what about 7, huh? What about, that's it. I mean, it's, and right now as it stands, you're talking about the Lions. Well, Lions are 3. So he didn't say the Lions. He kind of did, but not in that breath. So you're talking about basically the NFC North. That's the division you omitted.
I understand why Cam Newton feels the way he feels about the Bears as a whole and talking about the sustainability. But
I don't think they're winning the Super Bowl. Newsflash. Sorry, guys. Sorry. If it happens, I think we'll have discussions and you can say, you were right. I'll be great about that. But that's not this discussion.
He wears a hat every day, and he did tip his hat to one Caleb Williams and admitted that guy is the real deal and he is the talent and he can do things, but the way that they're winning, having them right where we want them, all that stuff, I get why he's punching holes through that, the things that Ben Johnson has said in recent weeks. At the same time, they're 6-3. They've got the road right there in front of them to stay exactly where they are, which, as you mentioned, Layla, is not in the hunt. It is on the graphic. It is on the, if the playoffs started today, they would have a game on the road in Detroit.
They are in the seed. Yeah, they're in the seed discussion. And that's it for me is that, yeah, he named all the teams that I would name if you're talking about surefire playoff makers. It's the other teams where the discussion lies. It's the other 4 or 3, depending on how you look at it. And that's where it gets tricky. But Cam is, I think it's one thing to look at the progress of this team and talk about it in that vein, through that lens. It's another thing to talk about how you feel like they would fare against the elite of the NFC. Those are two different discussions. But if they make the playoffs as a 7 seed even,
No,
it's going to be pandemonium.
If they make the playoffs, they're out here doing things. No one said Bears. Well, I'm sorry. Very few people said Bears in the playoffs year one of Ben Johnson.
No. And think about how ludicrous it was to even think that they'd have an outright winning record. Think about the controversy that surrounded the concept of them having a winning record. Then double digits? Like, these weren't concepts that we were readily able to discuss.
I picked them to go 7-10. They're one away from getting the seventh
Not
win.
Not the color printer.
Oh, he got the color printer?
You used the color printer?
When you show it to Twitch. Show it to Twitch now, Layla.
It's glossy.
Show it to Twitch now. Put that in your scrapbook.
We're framing that.
Put that in your scrapbook,
This may be
Layla.
The closest we get, and I have to understand that. I have to take this with a grain of salt. But it's just not very often that I've seen this in my day.
And I think also Cam Newton,
like you do in mass,
he makes a good point when he talks about the fact that the Bengals and the Giants this season have found ways to lose games. Good teams find a way to win. Bad teams find a way to lose. And so far, more times than not, the teams that the Bears have played, whether that be the Raiders or the Commanders or the Bengals or the Giants, have simply found a way to lose, allowing the Bears to have a window of opportunity. And Caleb Williams has been very happy to take that window of opportunity and run with it.
So how much of the roller coaster would you like to ride here? Like, do you want like
the drop
where it's just the cliffhanger and it's the Cam Newton take and then we go? Or do you want one with a bunch of little hills too?
I want to scream at the top of my lungs. Go.
Okay, let's listen to Rex Ryan talking about Caleb Williams' ceiling.
He's a generational talent. I think people forget that, all right? He's a generational talent. And now you pair him with a heck of a football coach that, and like I say, he's going to get like this. He's going to keep climbing, guys. And when it's all said and done, is this a playoff team? It kind of looks that way.
All right. Next up on the hills of the roller coaster, the sands of the hourglass, the days of our lives. Let's flash back to what Colin Cowherd had to say 8 weeks ago on the Herd and Caleb Williams after that loss to the Lions.
Sounds. But the further this quarterback gets away from the play script, the worse he is. He's like a studio musician having to go live or a stand-up comedian who's totally reliant on joke writers. His style in this league is not a timing style. And this coach craves it. This coach craves structure. Maybe there's a coach it works with. I don't think it's Ben Johnson. It also helps if you have composure. I don't think he does. He's like the news anchor and the teleprompter goes down. Oops. You know, I don't think this marriage is going to work.
Mm. He has a point about the timing being a factor in Ben Johnson's game. For more on that, you can go to Tim Jenkins' video, All Things QB on YouTube, because he talked a lot about the timing and the aspect therein.
That was quite a draw from 2 weeks of watching football with Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson.
It was a take, and I know that's part of the job. But listen to how old Colin has changed his tune since. Let's hear what he had to say after the Giants win on Sunday.
The eternal question for the Chicago Bears is, well, why can't we figure quarterback out? I think you have. Two things that have always been true about Caleb Williams. Really durable, doesn't get hurt, and he doesn't throw picks. Let me add a third. He's clutch. So I think it's official. He's still growing. But the Chicago Bears have their first great quarterback.
Woo!
My.
What a heel turn. Listen,
and we change our takes too. I get that. But I think he's got a point when it comes to the timing element does need to get tighter. I don't think that people would disagree with that.
That's still true today.
Yes, and that's okay. But a lot changes in a very short amount of time. And that's what I'm here to illustrate. So today, I got this.
You know what the overwhelming thing
What happens if this is... Do we throw darts at it at the end of the year if this is wrong? We'll be like, hey, remember that we had a hot day in November where we talked about the playoffs?
Oh, we burn it. Good. We burn it.
We burn it, right?
Yeah.
That's a lot of color ink.
I'm keeping that.
I like it. I think it's beautiful.
Feel this.
It's a moment in time. No, I could see the sheen from here.
Yeah, but when you feel it...
No, I know. It's glossy.
I hold it up again.
There's a lot of color ink, guys, for the playoff picture. Also, there's that whole, in this theory, they're playing the Lions thing, which at Detroit, So
then we get to see how far they've come if they end up playing Detroit in the playoffs, because that was the low point of the season. A
dollar
52
bet on
to 21.
This hypothetical game? Dollar bet?
We'll get to our dollar bet. You still owe me a dollar, Robbie. You owe me a dollar right now. So there's that.
Dollar bet on the hypothetical playoffs?
So
we've reached the extreme of the take. We've become bots of ourselves.
No,
I'm in.
I think it's a beautiful thing to understand that timing thing can get better. So we always talk about margin for error and how here in Chicago, we've been watching several seasons where there has been no margin for error.
You certainly didn't have this.
You know what the combination of Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams is creating? They're creating a margin of error. Right now, it's very small. But guess what? The more they work together, the better Caleb gets in Ben Johnson's system, there will be more margin for error. So when we criticize Caleb and him not being perfect and all the little things he does, I'm not saying it's not going to matter. It's going to matter so much less because there's still going to be an effective offense at some point scoring over 30 points a game. 30 points a game. Do you hear me?
December. We got to figure out what happens in December. Will it be a December to remember, like certain sales events? Or will it be a December that reminds us of many other winters we have seen before?
Are you buying me a new car?
A new car!
That's what I took from that December to remember.
It's a catchy slogan. Lego. You know?
Just give me a new whip.
Really, this is glossy and pretty. And I understand why the discussion has changed so much, because you get new information. That part of it I get. But you still have to play the games on your schedule. And yeah, were they pretty? No. The defense is, as we know, injured. Not just injured. They're very injured.
That's why the margin for error is so slim right now.
It can be a simple angle on a explosive play that is missed. You know, just the whiff, the being inches away from your one-on-one battle and losing it. So we know that the margin for error is little. But this sure looks like hope versus, hope, belief, and in the known. This looks like hope or belief to me.
Couple of comments from the text line. 708, I hope December to remember is better than Craig Tober. Okay, fair. And then 317, if the Bears miss the playoffs, just delete this segment from the FCC. Wow.
We'd have to delete the first segment, too.
We've got the master of deleting things from the FCC coming up at 1 o'clock. Danny Parkins himself.
But I don't think we're not defiantly saying, oh, they're in. That's not what this is. This is us having fun with what's out there right now.
847 says, come on, you guys. Cam Newton has a point. In order to get to the playoffs, they have to win 3 out of the 4 division games remaining. I, as a longtime Bears fan, will be honestly shocked if that happened. The defense will not be able to stop these good teams from scoring 30-plus per game. Sunday's game versus the Vikings will show the reality of what's coming. I will say this. They don't need to win 3 of the next 4 games to do that. That's not what has to happen. It's not what has to happen.
They beat the Vikings in Minnesota on the road on Sunday, and this is a different discussion.
Yes.
You're closer to this glossy pretty thing than you are the take that Colin Cowherd had against the Lions. That's where you're at with this.
I love finding out what's going to happen. When they're 8-3, we can revisit this conversation, and that they might be higher on that little graphic you got there.
Pretty sure we're going to revisit this every week.
Oh, so when they're 7-3, we'll do it the first time, then again at 8-3. Got it.
So you think they're beating the Minnesota Vikings?
I think they can. Let me see what that injury report looks like.
You just defiantly said 7-3.
Let's see what that injury report looks like.
Yeah, this is crucial for today.
It's a 64-yard field goal, and the kick is so wide left it ends up in Sheboygan. And the ball is wide and not even close. The game is over. Zeros on the clock. A failed 64-yard field goal by Green Bay. And the Eagles have survived to win their third consecutive game. They go to 7-2 and they remain atop the NFC East. And more importantly for them, the NFC overall.
Well, actually, shouldn't be laughing.
Highlight courtesy of Westwood One. And for Kevin Harlan, it's always him traveling back to his childhood when he calls games there.
It's true.
Because he was 12 years old and make-believing calling games there. Now he's watching his old team not be very good. And these types of feelings are few and far between for Bears fans, Speegs, that they can look at their Packer fan brothers and sisters and go, ah!
And that's why our Chris Tannehill decided to tune in to Green Bay Packers post-game radio.
That's right, folks. Sometimes you love sports so much, you got to have more sports, even when your team's not playing. But, like, yeah, it's I will check out, because I like to know about the North. You know, it's sometimes turn the page is not enough for me to learn about the North.
I agree.
It's an old score move to, like, use the app, you know?
Usually,
like,
it's meant for bigger games than that last night, but I was in the mood to have, you know, to enjoy that a little bit, because when you can check out our guy, Mark Tauscher, who is, you know, I haven't been a fan of his for years. These Packers offensive linemen, like, that's the thing that sucks. Like, they have so many great former linemen that are great in media.
Bulaga's a great dude.
Exactly, yeah. You know, so I was checking them out and just enjoying the callers and people are, they're so over Matt LaFleur up there.
Oh, do tell.
Well, I'll let the audio tell the tale here, but here's one caller's theory on what's going on with Matt LaFleur right now.
Jason, you're in Tulsa. You're on with Mark Tauscher. Let her fly.
So I've been calling in since the Cleveland loss in Game 3 to say Matt LaFleur was not a coach who will ever get the Packers into a Super Bowl, and been asking Couch to tell me why I was wrong. Does Matt LaFleur even want to be the coach in Green Bay anymore? And I'm serious. He's giving off Mike Holmgren last season in Green Bay. I know I'm going to, and I want to be in Seattle vibes to me. I think Matt LaFleur, I mean, there's a phrase out there, quiet quitting. He doesn't look like he wants to be there. He's been the worst part of the entire team all year.
Wow.
Wow, that is...
The quiet quit is being accused of one Matt LaFleur.
Tanny, this is what happens when you don't like Halloween.
Yeah, what's that record? They're 0-2 since he said that.
When you're feeling the pressure of Ben Johnson, who calls you out, and it clearly triggered him. Remember all those times that he would bring it up? Yeah, I don't
it
know.
It really bothered
Ben Johnson. Like, I don't even know him. Like, why did he bring that up?
What's with that guy?
Yeah.
What's going on with him?
He's coming for you, LaFleur. He wants you to cram it up your cram hole.
So, yeah, so when you have that dopamine drip of getting a call like that early on in their post-game show, you're just like, why turn away? I can save listening to Locked On Packers for the morning, which I did. But so this is the call that followed up very soon after, which I really enjoyed.
Let's go to Jeff in Milwaukee. Jeff.
Hey, guys. Unfortunately, I couldn't be less surprised by this performance.
Because?
And because I don't think Matt LaFleur is a good coach. LaFleur is so inferior to some of these other coaches in terms of designing a game plan. When you look at some of these other teams, I'll tell you who's got a really good coach, you guys. The Bears. And you just better admit it. Because I'll tell you, Ben Johnson, the coach of the Lions, the coach of the Rams, the coach of the 49ers, these teams take on the personality of their coach. You can see it. They're aggressive. They're not afraid of anything. And they have this attitude like they're going to win. And the Packers lack all of that.
Wow. Folks, this is the dream.
They're afraid.
Hell yeah! I mean, it's been a long time. It's been a long time coming. And we've all dreamed, however that dream is supposed to look. You know, maybe John Fox will be the guy that takes us back over the top. I mean, Lovey did hit the ground running, and he wanted to beat Green Bay and
so. He won a lot of games against the Packers.
He did. And there's been moments and flashes, but the idea that you might be passing them by and they're jealous of our coach, they're jealous of our offensive system and the way our team plays.
She keeps on passing me by. I love that. I love it. It's such a great feeling where it's like they're scared.
Oh man,
they are seeing what's happening with your Chicago Bears, and they're like, oh no, that's not good. That's not good that things are going well for the Bears while they're not going as well for us. The Packers still have a good record, but they don't look good.
If you're somebody with family up in Wisconsin, you know, and maybe you don't usually go and hang out with them around the holidays.
It's a 64-yard field goal, and the kick is so wide left it ends up in Sheboygan.
Let's say your family is in Sheboygan, okay? But you're down here, and you're like, I don't want to go hang out with them during football season because it's always miserable.
Right, I know how this is going to end.
Yeah, like I go there, and I get trash-talked by Uncle Biff over at the end of the table. Freaking
of course his name is Biff.
Uncle Biff, he's such a bag. But, like, is this the year that you go to Thanksgiving? You're like, you know what?
Spiegs, we've got Packers fans who envy the Bears culture.
You know what? I'll be there. I'll be there. I'm going to make something.
I'm going to be there.
I'll make some sweet potatoes this year. Yeah, that's right. You tell Uncle Biff I'm coming.
It's going to be orange and blue. It's going to be sweet potatoes with blueberries. And it's a new dish that I'm trying out. And I hope that Uncle Biff enjoys every bite of it.
Can you sit me next to Uncle Biff, please? Yeah, he can make his mac and cheese with the chives in it. So he's like, oh, look at my yellow and green side dish. I'll show it with my sweet potatoes and kick his ass.
Isn't that beautiful?
That's what I'm going to say. When it's time to give thanks around the table of Thanksgiving, that's what I'm going to say.
When you look at some of these other teams, I'll tell you who's got a really good coach, you guys. The Bears.
Oh, my God. That. It'd be lovely. Right, so now I'm going to have to think about it. I'm going to have to think about making the declaration, making the bet, betting the Bears to do the Packers sweep.
Just live here. Speech.
Lawrence,
just
I don't know how to do that.
It's a week-to-week league.
I struggle with the moment.
Live here.
I want to make it bigger.
This is a great place to live. Live here.
I want to live in the know or the known.
The known or no.
The gnome. I want to live inside the gnome.
Hold on. Speech. Let's get a word from AJ Hawk. Perfect.
Oh,
that's
nothing.
Usually what goes on.
Yeah.
He doesn't say a thing.
Oh man.
Never has a thought.
I'm showing up at your Uncle Biff, I'm coming to Thanksgiving. Let's go.
Does Uncle Biff call a water fountain a bubbler?
Probably.
Probably.
Yeah.
He probably says other stuff too.
How about those Eagles fans with the cream cheese heads?
That's pretty funny.
For them last
I gotta
night.
Give him credit.
Don't talk politics with Uncle Biff.
No. Don't ever do that.
But this year you talk football.
We talk
Uncle
a lot
Biff.
Of football. A
lot
with
of
him.
Football.
How's your football team doing?
Hey, you know, I happened to be watching on that Monday night when Jordan Love fumbled the ball straight up into the air. Just like he threw it up in the air. Like it was like an NBA tip-off. What the hell was that about, Uncle Biff? Your thoughts?
I saw that Dallas game you guys tied. That was pretty awesome.
That was pretty great.
Wasn't that great? You play that extra 10 minutes and you got nothing accomplished?
Uh-huh.
That was awesome.
Boy, your coach is handsome, though.
He is handsome.
Too bad he ain't as good as ours.
He hates Halloween, though, and that's a problem.
You know what, though? He was pretty cordial after the game last night. Feeling the heat a little bit, I think. He was pretty nice.
That shift is happening with LaFleur?
It is, yeah.
They asked him about job security.
And still, I think he's like, all right, guys, have a good night.
Oh, of course he did.
Midwest polite.
Guess I better kiss your ass now.
Yep.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
Jason Leisure's still here.
Hello.
Jason Leisure.
I will fight Chris Emma in Starbucks. I will fight him in a Panera, a Dunkin' Donuts, a Quiznos, a White Hen, a Schlotsky's. Name the time, name the place. I'll be there, Chris Emma.
Sounds good.
There's reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times.
You guys think, CJ, there's a lot of question marks and uncertainty about how that's going to go. And to have him come out and just be a total playmaker the first 2 weeks, what do you think that has done for you guys and for him in that locker room?
Well, I would say this. I gave him one of the game balls, and he kind of alluded to it. You know, you get football taken away from you, which he felt like last couple months, that's his story. And now he's here with a bunch of guys rooting for him, and he's grateful for the opportunity. And so it gives you just a greater sense of appreciation. And so he's always been a phenomenal football player. I think he's found a good home here in Chicago. Our guys are gravitating towards his swagger, his playmaking ability. I think he's quickly becoming one of us. So certainly not surprised by his performance. I've seen it for a long time now.
Jason Leisure with Spiegel and Holmes.
That's my kind of sports radio right there.
On 670 The Score.
This hour is being brought to you by Jewel Osco, and if you are so inclined, they are people that will take your donated coats for the Bears coat drive. So you can do something really good with our friends over at Jewel Osco and drop off a coat for people who might need it. Our segment with Jason Leisure is sponsored by Plumbers 911. Plumbing emergency, call the plumbing professionals available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. It's also brought to you by Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868. And now we bring on the man who's clearly trolling me, even though he's one of my best friends. He joins us now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Hello, Jason Leisure.
Hello, Lawrence. What do you mean I'm trolling you? Because there's multiple fronts in which I could be doing that, but which one are you referring to?
Well, let's talk about it, Jason. Lawrence, a couple weeks ago, said he set the over-under at 2.5 games for C.J. Gardner-Johnson to be here. That over's going to come in. You get a game ball after game two, that's probably going to come in. And it seems like there is some knowledge on CJ's part about what Lawrence has said, to the point that Lawrence has now been given a card directly written by CJ that I think came from you. It's got a Sun-Times thing on the front. And so anyway, you planted the seed. You made CJ Gardner-Johnson aware of what Lawrence had said a couple weeks ago. Is that true or not, sir?
No, actually not at all. But he came in. But I did hear what Lawrence said, I think the day they got him. And then I heard what he said at the end of his first week of practice about media said I wouldn't make it through the week. And I just put two and together, and I'm like, he's got to be talking about Lawrence. He has to have heard. He has to have heard what Lawrence said.
Huh.
Because while the sports book might have set the over-under at 2.5, at, you know, Lawrence Holmes, Circa Swim, whatever. The unofficial off-the-record line that Lawrence gave, I think, was like 0.25.
They're just going to play a quarter, and act a fool, and just get out.
Right.
But, I mean, all right, so that makes sense.
All I'm going to say is that I wasn't the only one concerned about C.J. Gardner-Johnson. And
of course not.
Exactly.
Everybody was and should be. And here's something I want to find out about this week. Dennis Allen seems to have some special relationship with this guy, because a lot of people have tried and not been able to connect with C.J. Gardner-Johnson. And there seems to be something here where Dennis Allen knows how to talk to him, and C.J. Gardner-Johnson has Dennis Allen's trust. And I mean, Lawrence, you would have said the same thing, even as you had your doubts about Gardner-Johnson, and who wouldn't? Who, honestly, I'm sure the Bears did. You would have said, nonetheless, this is first string starting caliber talent. And it is hard to get that at all during the season, let alone for free.
The fact that the guy was sitting on the couch, even though he's clearly a difference maker, is what the concern is.
He started every game for the champion Eagles last year. And so this is not the same from a talent perspective at all as just getting a street free agent. Somebody that just, you know, their career might be over because they can't make it talent-wise. This is a lot different than that. But it presents a whole separate side, and past actions usually predict future actions. So there, by no means do two great weeks and two great games mean that this is going to be a long-term fit. It could be, because he's only 27, I believe. I mean, this could be somebody that helps you out for the rest of the season and maybe beyond if Dennis Allen and him really have that relationship where they can make it work. But there's no assumptions about that at this point.
But it does seem to be a guy who saw his football mortality, who realized,
yep,
I don't know how many more chances I'm going to get. And this is a guy who coached me in my first 3 years, and he's going to give me a shot. I better show up strong.
By the way, Matt, I wonder what his value could be once Kyler Gordon comes back, because he's playing Kyler Gordon's spot. But Kyler Gordon has played very well on the outside, mm-hmm, at corner before.
And you could use some help out there.
Yes, because of injuries and the wildly inconsistent play of Tyreek Stevenson, I would be tempted and probably would do putting Kyler Gordon on the outside if things are still going well with CJ at nickel.
Well, let's go down that path, because CJ's interesting. He's played safety before, too. You know, but I think you're right about Kyler outside a corner. Nashon Wright, I made the comment earlier, I don't think he's a starter in the NFL. I'd love to see when Kyler comes back, Kyler and Tyreek as your cover corners and Nashon as your backup with CJ as your nickel.
Yeah, I think that you're going to need to, as they often say about like the offensive line or the defensive line, just get the best three corners on the field. And if you need somebody to play outside, Kyler Gordon has the experience and the talent to do it. That's not where he's most valuable to you and best if everything's perfect. If you've got Jalen Johnson and if Tyreek Stevenson is playing well. But in this situation where you don't have Jalen Johnson, Tyreek Stevenson seems to be a different player week to week, I would definitely do that. Now, but then that all hinges on things have to keep going well with CJ.
With the Bears winning, and we had a discussion about this in the last hour, there's a lot of, yeah, but, and I understand it. I understand where it comes from. For the people inside the building, how do they feel about their record?
Clear-eyed. And that's my favorite thing about covering this team, is that Ben Johnson, if you've been listening, and I know you guys have, Ben Johnson has kept it real throughout. Ben Johnson is not doing some of this big talk about where they're at like Matt Nagy would do, and he is very happy to be winning, but very sober about how much needs to be fixed and how far away this team is from being what it needs to be. The winning is good because obviously it's good, but also it puts them in a position where they have the opportunity, they have the chance to prove that they can play better than this. They are now going to go into a brutal second half of the schedule where they will be an underdog in most of these games. In my mind, they will be, not just in Vegas. I don't see them right now beating those teams. They get the chance to prove you wrong. And if they can go 4-4 down the stretch, that will get them in the playoffs probably. And that will be a great accomplishment when you're in a transition year.
What did you think of the play of the quarterback yesterday in terms of the totality of the game, Jason?
It's hard to evaluate in that weather and with the drops. I saw PFF had it at 6 drops, and drops are a little subjective. You could also say balls that should have been caught by average to above average NFL receivers, and then the number would be even higher, I think, because that would include balls that aren't scored as drops, but you know, you kind of expect somebody like Zaccheaus or Moore or Odunze to catch. Caleb was obviously great at the end. I didn't think he was particularly sharp throughout the game. And we're at this point where halfway through year two and halfway through a season of working with Ben Johnson, I'm waiting for that breakthrough. And Sunday didn't look like someone that's on the cusp of that. Obviously, he was really great at the end. But it's a big step from the way he's been playing to being to becoming a consistent, reliable, just killer throughout the game.
Him being great at the end, what do you think that comes from? Is it a level of comfort for him because that's what he kind of had to do at times at USC?
I think that when you, no matter what you do for work, when you are in a time crunch or when you are in a high pressure situation, some people have a lot of trouble with that. And some people, I think fold is too strong of a word, but they get caught up in the pressure. They get caught up in the ticking clock. They get caught up in things aren't going well. And, you know, bosses and management are going to be mad. Other people block all that out and just land the plane. Other people just don't even, they know it's there, but they don't think about it. They are just focused on the task. It forces them to focus even more than they normally would. And I would suspect there's something like that with Caleb Williams, where when there's no choice but to get it done, that's what kind of just locks him in from a focus standpoint.
I think that's spot on. And I think it's the nature of clutch and choke, and it's the nature of some people. And it's fascinating because we all know those guys who like did the term paper on 3 hours on a Sunday afternoon and did incredible work, you know? But Caleb does have that. It's still easier and better to stretch out your term paper over the previous 4 weeks or 6 weeks and actually do the note cards at the library. Like, I mean, it's still better to not put yourself in that position. But imagine what happens when you get the work habits and the structure to actually do it the right way. And also, by the way, just in case, you can be clutch at the end too. Then you get to special, truly.
Yeah, and Spiegs, what the point you're making about Caleb, I think, applies across the board to the team. And there was a lot yesterday of, this is exciting. This is great. We were determined. We never assumed this game was over. But also, we'd rather blow out teams. We'd rather have a two-score lead in the fourth quarter and put a team away. And that is the part of this that is fun to watch, but not sustainable. I mean, if you take the Giants situation yesterday, 10-point lead with the ball, under 7 minutes left. Look at the rest of the Bears' schedule and tell me which teams are coughing up that lead. Cleveland? That's maybe it. I mean, those other good to really good teams, even just average teams like the Vikings, I don't see them coughing up that lead. And I like that from Ben Johnson all the way down, there is, again, a very clear-eyed view of this worked today. This was enough to get through today. This is not really the way we want to be playing and as good as we want to be playing going forward. If you contrast that with Matt Eberflus kind of holding up, we're 2-2 in our last four as some kind of victory or achievement, you can tell that things are a lot different at Halas Hall right now.
What were the things that Jackson Dart did that made the Giants look pretty good until he left the game?
Well, he's a really decisive runner, and that's something that Caleb could get a little better at. He's actually done well at that, I think, the last couple of weeks. There's been times throughout the first year and a half where I've thought it's the opposite problem you had with Justin Fields, where Justin Fields was too quick to just bail on it and run, and that is not a viable path long term. Caleb seems to be so resistant to do it sometimes when it's there. Just take it, especially if you got the chance to slide safely. Take those 7 or 8 yards and go to the next play. In Caleb's case, that is supplementing what he can do as a passer. It's not replacing it like it was with Justin Fields. Jackson Dart was doing that. Jackson Dart was passing well and then running really well, 11 yards a carry as a supplement to that. And I also think he was very decisive as a passer. Just in general, I really like the decisiveness that he has. And there's, it's raw. I mean, he's a raw talent, and he just got his, he just saw his coach fired. So it's going to be a total reboot for him, just like with Caleb Williams in year two, just like Cam Ward is going to have in year two. But I think back to covering the Dolphins and being in the AFC East, and they're totally different types of quarterbacks, but the decisiveness is what links these two guys. I was watching Josh Allen as a rookie very closely, and Josh Allen wasn't very good, wasn't very productive as a rookie, but you saw this decisiveness. You saw this certainty of where he wanted to go with the ball, and you just knew if everything else got tightened up, he'd be really, really good. And that did happen. They fixed his throwing, and he has become, you know, one of the elite quarterbacks in the NFL.
So Jackson Dart has a lot of believers, and Ben Johnson among them now. After the game, he said, quote, "I think this quarterback they have is going to be a really good player for a long time." Just kind of tossed that off at the beginning of the post game. On the Bears defense, are we not realizing or perhaps not verbally crediting Montez Sweat for a renewed presence here? There are some numbers there in terms of the sacks. He has, what, six sacks? Or he's got 5.5 sacks for the year. He's got one sack in four consecutive games. But Ben said yesterday, "I feel like I've seen his effect for the last month or so."
I am too. And I think it helps when everyone else is playing well. I think you'll see that more so with Grady Jarrett out there than you did when Grady Jarrett wasn't out there. But I talked to Montez about it, and he said when it comes to sacks, there really is this thing of them coming in bunches. And it's not just a cliche. He was explaining that when you get one, it just gives you so much more confidence that they're going to keep coming. And the more confidently you play, the more likely that whatever you think is going to happen on this play, you're going to be right. If you're sitting there and you just have this absolute certainty in your mind, "I'll be getting to the quarterback on this play," there's a good chance you'll be right. And if you're sitting there thinking, "Man, every time I get in there, I'm like just not quite in reach and I just can't get the guy," well, you'll probably be right about that too.
Clear eyes was the way that you described how the Bears are looking at their record. Now that you have more than half of a season hanging out with Ben Johnson, what do you think of him and how would you describe him?
I feel certain that they're in good hands. And I know it's a little early for that. The fan base is obviously very excited, but they don't have to be right. They can be excited and you know, be excited about the next coach and the next coach and the next coach. As someone that's analyzing this objectively, it means something when you say that. You really got to be sure about it. I think there's so much evidence through half a season that they have found the right coach. And a big part of it is just that objectivity, that willingness to point out the things that aren't right, even as you're getting the results that you want, being able to identify flaws in your process, being able to talk straight to Caleb Williams, who I think needed to hear some of that constructive criticism last year and wasn't getting it. And another thing that I don't know if you guys noticed this in his comments today, but Ben Johnson has multiple times this year just volunteered that his play calling wasn't very good in a particular game. And I think most of us would sit here and say, the guy's been calling a pretty good offense overall for them. Things are going well offensively, better than they've gone in a long time. But I think he has this self-awareness. And while he is very confident, he is super objective about every part of the operation, including his own part, in terms of the preparation and the actual play calling in the game.
Yeah, and he said it yesterday. He said that Caleb being able to do what he does at the end of plays, the end of games, helps Ben not have to be perfect as a play caller. And I don't think he learned it from his boss, Dan Campbell, but they're cut from the same cloth in terms of their willingness and ability to say, "Yeah, I screwed that up. All right, well, we'll try to do better next week." It is a lovely thing. Thanks, Jason. Appreciate you. And keep trolling, you know?
Yes.
Keep talking to those players.
I'm not trolling anybody. CJ Gardner-Johnson is trolling you, Lawrence, but Who is, last question for you before I go.
Okay.
Who is trolling you harder right now? CJ Gardner-Johnson or Darnell Wright?
I don't think Darnell Wright is, I don't think that he's trolling me.
He's doing it on the field. He's trolling you on the field.
He's playing great. I never said that he wouldn't be a really good player.
You said they should have taken Jalen Carter.
And I've been, he's got a long way to go before I acquiesce on that one.
The way I find out that the Eagles have a game is I get a text from Lawrence about Jalen Carter. That's all. Oh, the Eagles are playing.
Not so much this year, though.
When do you ever have highlight reels of an offensive lineman? And 2 weeks in a row, you've got highlight blocks from Darnell Wright.
I'm hoping that Darnell Wright is a Pro Bowler this year.
He's catching up. He is definitely catching up. Jalen already
has all pros and a Super Bowl ring.
Yeah, gotta see.
Darnell's got a long way to go.
Yeah, give it a couple years. We'll see.
Yeah,
yeah.
He's thinking about you.
Mm-hmm. He is not. He's thinking about pancakes because that's what he was serving yesterday.
Pancakes are delicious.
He was serving pancakes, and I'll give people credit when it is due, and it is due because pancakes were being had yesterday, courtesy of one Mr. Darnell Wright.
Darnell's House of Pancakes.
That's right. You know what? That's not a bad idea. I'd go to that place.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a good place to go.
Didn't Orlando Pace used to have one?
Did he have a pancake house?
I thought he did. Thought that was a bit that they did back in St. Louis. Not when he was here. That's for sure.
You calling St. Louis St. Lou now?
I just did.
You guys are close
I feel dirty. I feel ugly.
Just like the river?
Blue.
We
need Nelly on the rejoin now.
I feel as sewage laden as the river itself.
They got a legitimate beef. We shouldn't have done that. St. Louis. That's a legitimate beef that they have with Chicago.
I'm still glad we did. Thanks, Jason.
Most people are.
All right, guys.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.